This segment of the Financial Sense News Hour is brought to you by Nationwide Financial. For more information about Nationwide's products and services, please visit nationwide.com. That's nationwide.com. Neither Nationwide nor any of its affiliates is related to or affiliated with Jim Poplava of Poplava Securities, Incorporated.
This is the Financial Sense News Hour with the president of PFS Group, Jim Poplava. Since 1982, PFS Group has offered asset management and educational resources that have helped investors build, maintain, and preserve their wealth. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Welcome to Lifetime Income and our new broadcast day for this series, which we used to run as a part of the Financial Sense News Hour weekend program, but now it's going to have its own slot here on Mondays. And we have two topics coming up today. Number one, we'll be talking about planning for retirement under Obamanomics, and also we'll begin talking with a doctor about the concept of taking care of your health and avoiding diseases which you don't have to get, one area of which is very important. It's called chelation therapy, and we'll discuss that later on in the program today. Well, Obamanomics is a fact of life. We just came through a fiscal cliff. We're going to go through another debate involving the raising the debt ceilings. But the most important thing right now is that the tax laws just changed rather radically. How does this affect your planning for retirement?
And John, we've got to begin and describe what short-term tax rates are going to be, because everybody knows that there's a difference in taxation between short-term gains, which are taxed as ordinary income, versus long-term gains under now this recent tax law. Capital gains rates have been raised from 15% to 20%. But also, this is the first year that Obamacare taxes kick in, that extra 3.8% that's tacked on to investment income, but it's also tacked on to capital gains as well. So the capital gains rate is now going to be 23.8%. However, there's a lot of people that trade in and out of the markets. They're more short-term oriented. And here's what you got to start thinking about if you are taking short-term capital gains. Let me define what the short-term tax rate is, because when I tell you, you're going to fall off your seat. First of all, we begin with the top tax rate, which is 39.6%. We'll get to that in just a moment when that kicks in. Well, why don't we just get right to it? If you are a single individual, the 35% tax rate kicks in, I love this one, at $398,350 to $400,000. So it basically kicks in for about $1,500 of your income. Once you reach $400,000, you go up to the 39.6% if you're single. Now, if you are a married couple, you likewise hit the 35% tax bracket between $398,350 and $450,000. So roughly, you've got about $51,000 that's taxed at 35%. Once you reach $450,000, you go into the 39.6%. Now, you would think, oh my goodness, that's almost 40%. That's bad. Folks, it doesn't stop there. Because the another aspect of this tax law is they brought back the Pease Amendment, which reduces your itemized deductions by taking 3% of your adjusted gross income. Let me give you an example. If you make $100,000, 3% of your adjusted gross income is $3,000. Now, let's assume that you have $20,000 of itemized deductions. Well, 3% of your adjusted gross income of $100,000 is $3,000. They would subtract $3,000 from your itemized deductions of 20, so instead of getting a tax deduction for 20,000, your tax deduction would only be 17,000. And by the way, that doesn't start at 400 and 450. That starts at 300,000. In addition to that, they are going to phase out your exemptions. So if you're married and you're normally used to getting an exemption for yourself, your spouse, and your children, they begin phasing that out. The net effect of all of that is it's going to add another 1% to the 39.6%. So now you're at 40.6%. Now it doesn't stop there. Remember the Obamacare taxes of 3.8%. So we start out, you're at roughly 40.6% because of the loss of your itemized deductions. We've got to add 3.8% for the Obamacare taxes. Now you're at 44.4%. Well, it doesn't stop there either, because Medicare taxes kick in after $113,000. The Medicare tax is 2.9%. If you're an employee, you take half of that, which is 1.45. So if you add 1.45 to that, you basically are at 45.85. In addition to that, the Medicare tax goes up by 0.9%. So take half of that, which is 0.45. So if you work for somebody else, your top tax bracket is 46.3%. If you are self-employed, your top tax bracket at the federal level is 48.2. So that means if you have a short-term gain in the stock market, it doesn't matter if it's the stock market, it's real estate, mutual fund trade, whatever it is, your top tax bracket is either going to be 46.3% or 48.2% if you're self-employed. And that's before counting state taxes. Throw in state taxes, like, for example, myself, where I live in California, I'm in a 48.2%, let's say, federal bracket. Then I get to add, I have the privilege of adding 13.3 to that. So I take 48.2, and then I get to add 13.3. My tax bracket is 61.5%, meaning that the government takes over 60% of any short-term gains I have.
Yeah, that seems to be quite a wallop as far as trying to make any investment, where over half of whatever gain you have is taken by the government. Now, that surely demands some kind of a strategy change, I would think.
Well, it certainly does, John. And if you are an employee working at another corporation, you're going to want to take advantage of anything that is tax deferral. For example, contributions to a 401k plan or a pension plan if you're self-employed. Also, the use of tax-deferred annuities or tax-free bonds, because you cannot afford, and remember this, and we'll get to this in just a second, but it also means, John, you're going to have to think twice if you're getting ready to take a short-term gain. In other words, let's say, for example, you own a stock that's up 20% and you think the stock market is going to correct 10, 15%. Do you really want to take a short-term gain where you can pay up to 48% or 46% in federal taxes, plus whatever state taxes you're in? Now, if you live in a tax-free state, which you're going to see an influx of new residents as a result of these tax hikes. You also add, unless you're in a tax-free state, you're going to have to add your state taxes to that. Here in California, the combined tax bracket could be over 61%. So you're going to have to think more strategically about what you do in terms of how you shelter your income, and especially if you're saving for retirement. Because remember, we're already in a low interest rate environment. You add these kind of taxes, which are a bigger burden on your investment return, and that means the government's going to take more of your investment returns, which means you're going to have less available for your own retirement.
Well, you know, Jim, I'm sure most of our listeners know you've been doing financial planning for three decades now. When you got into this in 1979, this is flashback now, tax rates were 70%.
Well, you know, it's amazing, too, because we had a lot more tools at our advantage to use, John. We could use tax shelters. But it basically gets down to four strategies that you're going to have available. One is tax deferral. And there's two ways that you can do that. One, you can postpone receiving income. For example, a deferred comp program at work if you're a highly compensated executive. Tax deferral might come from, let's say, a pension plan. Maybe you're contributing money to a 401k plan, or if you're self-employed, a pension plan, or a tax-deferred annuity. where you can have, let's say, access to all your favorite mutual funds, but instead of taking any dividends or capital gains and having them taxed at your highest tax bracket, then, you know, you can have them tax deferred. So I would say right at the top of the list is tax deferral. Secondly, which we talk about here every week on the program, is tax free. They're not going to touch that. It would impact the states. There's no indication the president's going after that, especially since his friend Warren Buffett owns a truckload of tax-free bonds for Berkshire Hathaway. So tax-free bonds would be another way of minimizing your amount subject to investment tax. A third one is a shift in your investment strategy. If you are going to take capital gains, make sure they're long-term capital gains, which get taxed at 24% versus the 48% federal tax rate, depending on where your income bracket. So let's say minimizing short-term gains would be another strategy, John. And number four is tax-sheltered income. Rob and I talked about in the first hour, for example, investing in pipeline companies where you have a lot of the income that is sheltered from federal taxation. So those are mainly the four basic tools: tax deferral, tax-free, tax-sheltered, and long-term capital gains versus short-term capital gains.
You know, Jim, as all these numbers go flying by, and I notice this even during some of the debates over taxation, it's so complicated that when people are making claims and counterclaims, you can't tell what's really true. But here we are, we're looking at tax time in a couple of months again in April. Don't you think it would be important for people to know exactly what their tax bracket is? Because otherwise you don't know how all these figures apply to you.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, one of the things that we do in the planning process is it's called marginal tax analysis, because if you have earned income, let's say you get paid a salary at work, or let's say you have a pension, or you have your own business, and you pretty much know what your income is, okay, you take that income, you back out all your itemized deductions, and this year it's going to get a lot more complicated because of the phase out of itemized deductions and personal exemptions, but you do need to arrive at what your marginal tax rate is. And that marginal tax rate, in addition to that rate, whatever it is, if you're in the 31% bracket, 28% bracket, 35, 39, 6, whatever that is, depending on your income, you're going to have to add the phase out of your itemized deductions and your personal exemption, which could add 1%. You're going to have to add the Obamacare taxes of 3.8%. You're going to have to add the Medicare taxes that kick in once you reach and have an income beyond the Social Security threshold. Because once you know that number, you really need to know that. Because if you're thinking of panicking in the stock market, oh, I want to take a gain, you better make sure you know exactly what that marginal tax rate is so you don't get a surprise when you go to file your tax return and your accountant gives you the bad news and says, oh, by the way, you owe an extra, whatever that number is, extra amount of dollars that you hadn't planned on because you didn't realize this is what your short-term capital gains or what your short-term marginal tax bracket is. Absolutely, John. That is right there at the top of the list in the planning process, because once you know what that is, you know what the consequence is of how your investment income is taxed, then you can move on to what we just talked about, strategies to minimize that, either tax deferral, tax-free, long-term, or tax-sheltered.
You know, this comes to a point where I think we have to point out the difference between reality and rhetoric. And the rhetoric that we've been hearing for the last 6 months is we can't let the rich fat cats get away without paying their fair share. Okay, well, that sounds good, and it makes a lot of, you know, talk on the talkies. But what happens when the bill is actually passed? And if you look at all the pork and the crony capitalist junk that was contained in this bill, senators voted down an amendment to list the corporate interests that receive tax perks on a government website. Michigan Democrat Debbie Stabenow was able to retain an accelerated tax write-off for owners of NASCAR tracks. That's $78 million. New Mexico's Jeff Bingaman saved a tax credit for companies operating in American Samoa, including a Starkist factory. Distillers can take a $222 million rum tax rebate. Businesses located on Indian reservations would receive $222 million in accelerated depreciation. And there are breaks for railroads, New York Liberty Zone bonds, and so on and so forth. And we should also mention Hollywood, especially the Michael Moores of the world pushing for all of this, are now eligible for big tax breaks.
Yeah, to the tune of almost $300 million if they do a television production or in a movie in a low economic zone. So it pays to contribute, or let's put it another way, it pays to have a lobbyist.
Okay, but, you know, let's get back to reality as far as the rest of us are concerned. Because if you don't happen to be a fat cat like Warren Buffett, where you can pay to have lobbyists set things up for you, or Hollywood bigwigs, you can shake your head and go, well, there they go again. But in reality, what does that mean for us?
Well, I mean, you still have a lot of things that are available to you, John. I think one of the things that is going to come back into vogue is a C Corp. In fact, we discussed a couple of cases here in lifetime income, because if you own a C Corp and you invest in stocks, 85% of your dividends are exempt from federal taxation. One of the benefits that Warren Buffett has when he buys stocks like Procter & Gamble, Coca-Cola. He doesn't pay taxes on 85% of the dividends. And if you caught the president's speech, he talked about lowering tax rates for corporations because the United States has the highest corporate tax rates in the world, which is making the U.S. a very uncompetitive place to do business. So if the C Corp comes back, you're going to see a lot of conversions from S Corps back to C Corps, because the C Corp will be taxed at, let's say, maybe a 28% rate versus a 48% rate at the federal level. So you can save probably 20 percentage points. So we have the C Corp. That's a tool. Secondly, making use of a pension plan. We talked about a particular case that we did with Les and Donette, who were not only moving to another state, but a way we were able to reduce their taxes by one third for last year by having them set up a defined benefit pension plan. So the pension plans, whether it's a simple IRA, SEP IRA, 401k, defined benefit pension plan, but you're going to get a tax deduction. It's going to come right off the top. If you're a high-paid executive, going to your employer, talking about some kind of deferred compensation program, and especially if you work for some of the bigger Fortune 500 companies, a lot of these companies have deferred comp. You might want to talk about some kind of deferred compensation program, setting up medical savings plans where you can deduct the amount of money you put into a medical savings plan, and then when you pull it out to pay for medical expenses, it's tax-free. So, John, there are a lot of tools that are available out there. It's just you got to play the game. They change the rules, you change your tactics. It's no different. It's just like sailing. When the wind shifts, you know, you tack. And that's what you have to do with tax planning, and especially under Obamanomics, where we're going to see higher tax rates going forward. We'll be talking more about ways to get around this as we move forward. I mean, believe me, whenever they change the rules, you can bet the guys up at the top are already taking advantage of the way the rules play out, because that's why we have tax accountants and tax attorneys and financial planners, because you just change your tactics is all.
And coming up next as part of Lifetime Income, we're going to talk about one of America's leading killers. It's heart disease, about how to detect it, how to actually prevent it, and then how to get yourself on a path of wellness if you happen to be in the early stages of it, or even the later stages of it. We'll talk next with Dr. Drew Collins. I think you'll find this fascinating about the whole subject of chelation as the Lifetime Income series continues right here at FinancialSense.com.
We're starting a new segment today in our Lifetime Income. We're going to add a health segment to it because one of the biggest things that we see in retirement planning today is a lot of individuals fail to account for the cost of medical care during retirement. And it can run and be rather substantial. In fact, you can expect over your lifetime in five-year increments, and especially as you get older, these costs can end up costing you, your loved one, your spouse, $250,000. Now, that's a big number when you think about it over a 20 or 25-year period, which is the life expectancy of, let's say, somebody retiring at age 65. Now, I want to bring this to your attention because People don't plan for it, and we're going to be talking today about the number one killer of Americans, which is heart disease. It's very expensive. We're going to have a specialist on the program. He's an individual who I first discovered, a doctor that I go to in our family. We have a predilection for heart disease. High cholesterol's run in the family. I lost my grandfather at the age of 63 after his fourth heart attack. My mother is doing well. She's 83 years old. But she's adopted some of the things that I have done in taking care of. At age 50, my cholesterol count was 245. And one night I was reading Richard Russell's newsletter, and he was talking about something that happened in his life. He had just had his fourth heart attack. Richard had had quadruple bypass. And basically his doctor said, Richard, update your estate plan and do it quickly. And that's when he discovered and began to start reading and say, boy, there's got to be something I can do. I've had bypass surgery. I'm taking statin drugs. And that's when he discovered the medical clinic that I go to and began a series of treatments called chelation therapy. It's amazing because over the Christmas holidays, I once again read Richard's newsletter. And today, Richard is age 88. At age 70, he was diagnosed with heart disease, and basically after having his fourth heart attack and bypass surgery, his doctor was saying, Richard, plan for your end. Well, he's still around at age 88. So we're going to be talking about heart disease, and we're going to be talking about some of the preventive things that you need to be aware of, because it is America's number one killer. Joining me on Lifetime Income today is Drew Collins from the San Diego Clinic of Integrative Medicine. And doctor, before we begin talking about America's number one killer, which is heart disease, I want to give a little bit of a background why we are speaking, because I found out about your practice going back to the year 2000, reading Richard Russell's newsletter. Richard Russell at that time had undergone his second quadruple bypass surgery and basically had his fourth heart attack. His doctor basically said, you need to update your will and do it quickly. Well, he discovered chelation therapy. And let's talk about chelation therapy and how this is a different approach to handling heart disease and more curative than, let's say, just bypass surgery or, for example, taking statin drugs. Explain what it is and why we don't hear as much about it.
Hi, Jim. Well, happy holidays. Happy New Year to all your listeners. We're here in San Diego, as you know. I get to quarterback a 30-year-plus clinic that has been treating people with chronic degenerative diseases with chelation therapy and other things. But we're talking about an IV treatment that depends on a molecule called EDTA. There's been hundreds of thousands of people taking these treatments throughout the world with great success. And this clinic itself has been happy to serve tens of thousands of people. People come to this kind of clinic, Jim, because they've either heard about chelation therapy or they come in with symptoms or desire, as we're mentioning off the air, to predict and prevent what they genetically would normally stumble into. They're chronic diseases that, as they get older, are going to come knocking on the door. So chelation is a IV therapy based on the idea that this molecule called EDTA is going to grab heavy metal. And pretty much that's been established. Even the federal government knows that. And it's what you turn to if you want to get lead out of your body, which shouldn't be there, or other things like cadmium or aluminum or even mercury. So we know that that works chemically. That's not really up for grabs. What's really kind of controversial, has been controversial over the years, is whether or not it fixes heart disease. So you have to talk to people who are the pros, like the American College for the Advancement in Medicine. And that's a great fraternity of doctors over the world who have taken the extra training in the safe and effective use of this chemical. The chemical is added to other formulas, often with some B vitamins and things in there. But the big news is that it goes in painlessly and it leaves in the urine without a lot of smell or whatever. But it takes with it lead and the things that shouldn't be in you that you've gotten from exposure to car exhaust or lead paint or what have you. So what we see a lot of is people coming in, and we test them before and after or throughout the course of events with provocative challenge tests where we send it off to labs and see what their toxic load is. But getting back to cardiovascular, which you mentioned, because it's not just for that. It's for diabetes and other things too, but cardiovascular is the big killer. We think the way it works is that the heavy metals line what they call the endothelial system or the layer of the vascular system and the arteries. And the endothelial cells are very fragile, like the tiles on the nose of the space shuttle. They are there to protect, but when they get damaged, like with heavy metals, which accumulate, then they flake off, just like they would in a re-entry on the space shuttle. When those protective cells come off due to heavy metal poisoning, then you start getting eroded areas that start the whole plaque process. So you've heard of plaque in the arteries and atherosclerosis. That kind of thing is what everyone's dying of. You either got heart attacks or you got strokes. Heart attacks are pinched off blood supply to the meat of the heart, and strokes are when things break off the vulnerable or soft plaque they talk about. That goes up and lodges in an area that prevents blood and nutrients to get to cells, like in the brain, or sometimes in the lungs or whatever. So you have embolism. But we're trying to prevent that. And it used to be people talked about fat is bad and don't eat fat, low-fat diets, that kind of thing. And if you just don't eat cholesterol, don't eat eggs, then you won't have heart disease. Well, we're finding out now we have to rethink that. So people come in and they say, what about my cardiovascular system? And we get all the different high-tech scans and ultrasound. There's a carotid intimal thickness scan. It's very valuable now to predict. There's great new sensitive tests, blood tests. But ultimately, what do? Once you find out you've got it, just like your dad had it or your mom had it, and that's what the baby boomers are asking. So we talked about a little bit that either you're an elite athlete or a wealthy person that has options and you can take any different direction for your health, go all over the world and look on the internet and talk to people, different clinics all over the world, or you're waiting for what the VA or your local HMO tells you is appropriate, or you wait until you absolutely have crisis and crash and go into the ER. So there's different levels that medicine interacts with us. You and I, Jim, are proactive. We want new ideas and we look up things and bring them to our doctors and ask for things that we've heard about. And frankly, the doctors are scrambling to keep up with it. So why a lot of people don't have access to chelation is because the doctors are asking haven't kept up with it. Now, there's a recent study that the National Institute of Health has promoted and actually announced, 10-year study, and it's actually statistically significant that chelation helps with prevent events meaning death of a cardiac disease. But unfortunately, these things move slowly, and even though it's 55,000 treatments, it's very tightly controlled. It's probably not going to show up at a HMO near you very quickly. But it is good news, and it kind of takes some of the steam out of people saying that it's quackery or that doesn't have any research behind it, because this was done with the government, and it was done very rigorously. And so it raised a lot of eyebrows after all these years, because it's been a safe treatment in clinical settings for a number of things, not just cardiovascular.
Let me stop you there, because I want to bring something that has been in the headlines. Former President Bill Clinton, who had a high diet of saturated fat, he loved burgers. And in fact, I still remember when he was president going for jogs and then stopping into McDonald's for a Big Mac. Well, he developed cardiovascular disease. He had quadruple bypass. A year or two later, they had to rush him to the hospital to put a stent in. And then, of course, recently, everybody has seen him, including at the Democratic Convention, where he's lost significant weight because he's turned to becoming a vegan, I guess, to maybe clear up the arteries. Why, when you take somebody as famous as former President Clinton, who has access to the best health care in the world, why wouldn't he consider something like chelation, which would clean out his arteries? Because mainly what you see is bypass surgery, statin drugs, and then, of course, they say, okay, you need to change your diet, eat less eggs, red meat, etc. Why have we not heard it at his level?
Well, just because you're a politician doesn't mean you're smart, as you know. So what we've got is kind of a militarized medical care for politicians and people of high security clearance. So they don't get to go anywhere they want. They have to go to Walter Reed or whatever their security clearance, and the people get to cover them up. So, you know, professional athletes kind of the same way. They sign contracts, and even though they might want to go and get acupuncture or something, unless that's part of the sports program, if they want to go off like Kobe Bryant and get stem cells or something, they have to kind of go outside of what everybody's allowing them to do. So I would imagine like Hillary with her clot and that sort of thing, she's probably not availing herself of really the best things that could happen, although it's probably right down the middle of the road, you know, blood thinners and that kind of thing. So when Bill Clinton does his cardiovascular routine, he's probably still getting the same low-fat diet, low-cholesterol conversation that is more like the 80s, kind of when he peaked. So just because they got money doesn't mean they're smart either. It's more like you have to be independently a little bit outside the box and let the dust clear and ask questions. And this whole chelation thing is usually brought on by somebody recommending it. And so if, say, somebody in high places got it recommended to them, well, they'd have to run it through all their handlers and security clinics and that sort of thing. And, of course, those political positions of attorney general, surgeon general, they don't get that way by being risk takers. So they're surrounded by people who probably are not going to bring them. Reagan supposedly had some alternative therapies and things like that, like stem cells. But he took some flack for it. I think Nancy was involved with that. But with Clinton, he was used as an example, really. We were at a conference just the other day, and one of the doctors from UCLA was saying, he and Tim Russert are poster boys, but just because you have a stress test that you pass doesn't mean that your arteries are clear. So both those guys had just done executive stress treadmill tests where they were pronounced, hey, you got good flow, but you can have 70% blockage and still be pronounced clear. That's one of the problems, is we're missing a lot of what's going on in the pathology of the lining of these tubes before it starts making a stenosis, they call it, or pinched off flow. And there's new blood tests that are not necessarily what a president is availing themselves to, but you have to go outside of third-party payment. It's not covered by Medicare yet, but they're very scientifically appropriate, catching things 10 years, 20 years before. So things move slowly, and if you're in the public eye, you may not be able to go fast and quick around the bend and get stuff that's the breaking news. So he should be able to get good stuff, but he may not.
In my own case, doctor, when I came to your clinic with your partner, I had a cholesterol rate of about 245. The first thing I was put on was something called Tripacol, which is niacin, omega-3s. I began to change my diet, not as much as I should have, and red yeast. I start taking that, and I brought my cholesterol down from about 245 down to roughly about 180. You also put me through something called, I guess I call it the donut. It's a kind of a scan that you go through. It takes about 45 seconds, but they can measure the calcium deposits in the main arteries feeding into the heart. Can you talk about what this scan is and how important it is?
I'm not sure if you're talking about our magnetic ring, but the best thing that people can do now when they're trying to figure out their risk is what I was talking about. There's highly sensitive cardiomyopathy markers that are available now. The slickest thing is an ultrasound Doppler of your carotid artery, which is not invasive. You just have like a little jelly on your neck, and they can bounce it off the big pipes in your neck and tell you not just how much flow, but how much the lining is got some pathology in it. That's like so predictive that it's almost directly correlated between the pipes in your neck and the pipes on your heart. So if they can say that you've got a very little bit of atherosclerosis or streaking or the pathological process of your carotid arteries, they can tell you that your heart is clear. And that's not what someone like Clinton or Tim Russert had. And people can get this now, but again, it's not covered by Medicare, or it's not covered by the VA, or it's not covered by the big insurance companies because it's the newest technology. So a lot of this good stuff is out there. You can find it. You can pay for it with cash. It's high tech. It's available. It's great. Problem is why most people don't do this, whether it's chelation IV treatment or cutting-edge predictive diagnostics, it's cash. That's the problem.
I think that's what I had. I think it might have been an MRI. The machine itself was only about 10, 12 inches wide, like a donut. I went through it in 45 seconds. It measured all the main arteries going into the heart. I also had special blood tests that you did. And what I found after that, along with the supplements that you gave me, along with changing my diet. Now, I went on the paleo diet, and as a result, I've lost about, I don't know, what is it, about 15, 18 pounds. But more importantly, over the last couple of years, I've brought my cholesterol down from 245 down to, you know, in the 160 range. Let's talk about the importance of diet in addition to these therapies that we just talked about.
Diet is what you do bite by bite, and coming through the holidays is kind of a mean trick to pull on your listeners because they're all ashamed of what they put in their face. But if you figure out what that paleo diet is talking about, which I agree to, it's going back to how our human machine works. And there's a lot less emphasis on the starches, the simple and complex starches and the grains, and a lot more emphasis on protein and green vegetables and the more complex release of fiber and cellulose and vitamins that are in the green leafy type vegetables. So you'll be lean and have less reactive insulin if you eat more of what the Paleolithic hunters ate, and that's what you're talking about. But that's opposite of what people have been told for years and years and years. And so, again, we're having like this sea change of people who used to think carbo-loading and high-grain pyramid when they do the USDA type of thing as far as diet. So, again, we're talking about going to people who are USDA type registered dietitian, they may tell you something that was smart and the conventional wisdom in the 90s, but now here we are, 2013, you might be told, hey, get rid of the grains. You know, what used to be what people would load up on marathons, we're finding that's giving abdominal obesity. It's also doing insulin. That's going directly into inflammation. That's going into the heart disease. So they're pointing towards inflammation directly connected to starch and sugar levels in your blood, both making diabetes and cardiovascular problems, those two big killers, that are way out of control. And they're not so much looking at fat. As a matter of fact, we like fat now. So fat stabilizes. And, you know, you got to talk about good fat, and people don't know what that means, because everything's low fat in our perspective, everything's low fat muffins or low fat latte or whatever, half calf, half fat, whatever. But dietarily, if you start getting on the cutting edge websites, blogs, going to these conferences, everyone's starting to agree with this paleo type perspective that we're getting away from the kind of grains that are genetically modified grains, which are different than they were 100 years ago. So even wheat, there's a great book out called Wheat Belly, and it's all about the grain that we call wheat. It's not even close to what it used to be, you know, in ancient times. So it has a different effect. It makes a lot more insulin, makes a lot more fat, and you can eat all sorts of starch made from whole grains and still get fat. And the emphasis should be more on cold-pressed oils, which no one really gets into their diet unless they are Mediterranean, like Italians, and they put olive oil on the table. So we all have to kind of be more like the Mediterranean and eat oil, like even on things, you know, not just in salad dressing, but oil on things, or start using oil without it being heated. And you start seeing oil becomes a part of your diet. You have to buy oil. You have to think about oil. You have to put oil in the refrigerator. You have to take care of oil. It's a different shopping list than it used to be. And that is going to help us tremendously with our weight. You know, we're an obese nation and obese children, and we have cardiovascular disease rampant, and we have diabetes going out of control. And also, not just us, but developing countries like China and India, unbelievable rates of this increasing pathology. And it's all about available, cheap, usually corn-based fructose and starch that the agribusiness can create with nitrogen and other chemicals, and then you end up with fat, and your hormones are messed up too. So we're fighting disease that we're genetically predisposed to, but it's rapidly occurring even quicker than our forefathers or our parents because of the diet. So diet's key. You can take all the drugs you want, but if you don't change your diet, you're not going to be healthy.
I found your clinic through reading Richard Russell's newsletter, and as he described it at age 70, basically, his doctor said, go update your will as fast as you can. Today, Richard Russell, I read his December newsletter, he's 88 years old. You know, his doctor basically told him at age 70, you don't have long to live, and now he's 88 years old. He gets regular chelation. He changed his diet. Let's talk about some good news here. So any of our listeners who are predisposed to heart disease because of genetics, or maybe they have high cholesterol today, or they're taking statin drugs, what's the good news here? Let's break this down to step one, two, three. Step one, finding out the real risk. In other words, what are the kind of tests that you should get so you don't end up like Tim Russert, which is exactly what happened to my uncle who had quadruple bypass over the Christmas holidays. He went in for hip surgery, and in the process of getting him ready for hip surgery, they did some tests and found he had blockages in most of his major arteries. So he ended up having bypass surgery before hip surgery. So step one, what should a person do to find out if they're predisposed to heart disease or may be at risk?
Again, we have three categories I always break it down into. There's the super elites like you and me, you know, ultra athletes, or people who have the options and have the ability to pay outside of the conventional system. Then there's most people who are under either Medicare or third-party payer or HMOs. And then there's people who just stumble into crisis. So the super elites who have access to things like preventative medicine and pay for it with cash, they should go find a company called Singulex, which I don't own any of, but it's got the cutting-edge blood test that'll predict 10 to 20 years before there's even pathology that Tim Russert had and Bill Clinton had, and they would have told them, boom, you're not free of this problem. Now, those guys had enough problems that they would have showed up. So Singulex is a blood test. You can get that through any place in the country that does blood draws. So if you're a super elite-type person with options, you still hear about this company called Berkeley Heart Lab. Berkeley Heart Lab is kind of the progenitor of this other company, and they do infinitesimal analysis of your blood, lipids, and fat. So you need blood work. So the first step is get some data of your own body. And the basic stuff, even height, weight, whatever, body fat. So you can even get body fat caliper testing in a gym. So get a perspective, you know who you are to start with baseline. And the people who are not able to go outside of the system, you can at least ask for complete blood work to the extent that, say, something like Kaiser or an HMO would do it. Ask for whatever you can get for preventative. Now, they'll give you something which wouldn't satisfy me, but it'll be better than nothing. And then you got to start reading. So the people who are kind of in the middle of the road, who have to wait for the doctor to tell them what will be paid for, they need to get busy reading some of the cutting-edge books that are on nutrition. Like you mentioned, I would start with a paleo diet book. Another book that just says it all very quickly is Wheat Belly, and it's a brand-new book. And it's, again, by a cardiologist who himself was running 3 miles a day and still had 30 pounds on his belly, figured out that that was a key to his problem. So you have to read, you have to educate. Then the people who are in crisis, they're going to wait until ERs or conventional hospital systems or nursing homes, those people are going to be allowed whatever is at the lowest level of compensation, like the Affordable Care Act is going to come in here now, and they'll probably allow for things like cholesterol tests or that kind of thing, which is not so great, but if you had to pick one test and could pay for it, C-reactive protein, CRP, highly sensitive, which is, again, not paid for by Medicare as much, but if you can ask for that, it'd be about an $80 test. That's going to tell you the inflammation load on your body, and that's going to help with diabetes and heart disease and all sorts of problems. And if you can get those markers, have the doctors, whoever's going to draw the blood, have the information and figure out where you're at. So Singulex is a company I'd go with, Berkeley Heart Lab I'd go with. I would ask for whatever panel is available if you have insurance. I would throw in vitamin D because everyone's looking now and getting shocked by how important that it's actually a hormone, how low everybody is on that. It makes a huge difference in hypertension and diabetes and all the different chronic diseases. If you're somebody who has to wait until you have a crisis, like call the 911 when you have chest pains, you're only going to get to do what the people do as a protocol. And they're probably going to go with catheterizations, which are invasive cardiology, and somebody else is going to pay for it. But then even those people stumble on the internet sometimes, or they go to health food stores, or they go to free lectures, and they might do things like herbs or things that are cheaper. So there's wonderful plants out there that can go for people who are simple and only can buy what they can get at grocery store level. Garlic is probably the ancient helper for our hearts. There's a plant called hawthorn. You know, those are what I specialize in because I do herbs. So there's diet, you know, mouthful by mouthful, and then you got to just read some of the latest nutrition books. Paleo diet is a great one you mentioned. And then figure out your blood work, if someone's going to help you. And then 5 years to change your diet so you really understand it. It's going to be hard. You may hear it once or twice or three times, but don't be too hard on yourself if you fall back on a birthday cake or someone brings by some muffins or something. But it really is going to be mouthful by mouthful. And you can reverse heart disease. That's the good news.
Yeah, there's been a lot of books out there from the China study to the paleo diet. And I know it wasn't until I really got serious about my diet and went on the paleo diet that I dropped my cholesterol another 25 and 30 points. And that's where I want to maintain it. Doctor, as we close, if our listeners would like to find out more about your practice, especially if they live here locally in the San Diego region, I'm going to give out your phone number, if you wouldn't mind, which is San Diego Clinic of Integrative Medicine. It's 619-440-3838. And if you'd like to read a lot about the philosophy of the firm, Doctor, give out your website if you would.
SanDiegoHealthClinic.com. And if you want to email the office, it is info@SanDiegoHealthClinic.com. So the website is SanDiegoHealthClinic.com. You can talk to Sarah, whoever picks up the email at info@SanDiegoHealthClinic.com. And we usually talk, you can get somebody on the phone to talk a little bit about anything you want to talk. We don't just do heart disease, we do, you know, chronic diseases. But we have a lot of fun, and like I said, I'm helping a 30-year clinic, so a lot of doctors came before me, and it's a comfortable environment. And, you know, we have no problem referring to other doctors and referring out for tests, and there's a lot of people that can help in this community, so we don't have all the answers. But we're pretty good on the nutrition, and we do see miracles happen every day. So come on over.
All right. We've been speaking with Dr. Drew Collins at the San Diego Clinic of Integrative Medicine. Doctor, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to enlighten our listeners on what has been the number one killer disease in this country for a long period of time. Thank you so much for joining us on the program.
You bet.
We just finished an interview talking about heart disease, and you might be wondering, why is Jim talking about this in Lifetime Income? Because during your retirement years, one of the biggest expenses that you're going to be facing is the cost of medical care. Whether it's drugs that you're taking, whether long-term care facility, maybe it's dementia, disability, and we're also knowing that over time that Medicare is covering less of our expenses, and that is more likely to accelerate in the years ahead. So now if you retire and you're on Medicare, well, you know, you're having to pay for supplemental Medicare insurance. That's going up based on your income. And just for example, when we talk about heart disease, the average cost of heart bypass surgery can range anywhere from $70,000 to $200,000. And the costs depend on the facility, but they tend to be on the lower side, assuming there's not major complications. Think of the cost of statin drugs, whether you're taking statin drugs, blood thinners, blood pressure medication, all of this starts to add up, and those costs go up every single year. So we're going to have to start learning to take care of ourselves as the government refuses to pay for more of our medical care or excludes very important tests, as you heard in that last interview, that may diagnose a disease you may be already afflicted with, but yet you're unaware of. We're going to be covering more of these kind of issues in the weeks and months ahead. We hope you'll find it helpful. And we also want to end on this note, that we hope that this year, 2013, finds you healthy, wealthy, and prosperous.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSN. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.
This segment of the Financial Sense NewsHour is brought to you by Nationwide Financial. For more information about Nationwide's products and services, please visit nationwide.com. That's nationwide.com. Neither Nationwide nor any of its affiliates is related to or affiliated with Jim Poplava of Poplava Securities, Incorporated.